Okay, welcome to session two of my talks on visualization, projection, and so on. I think you are both all of you. There's only two today. Second life's a bit of a pain. But we'll go. We should get some more arrivals shortly. But I shall kick off now. Okay, so visualization, or a common title bandied around is creative visualization. Serves a number of functions, from good relaxation, meditation, through to healing, ritual use, all the way up to projection and other things like that. Now, as I think I've said in the previous session, which was the introduction, visualization for me is a catch-all, same as projection. They are the two ends of the same spectrum of mental activity. Yeah, too hot to think of a better word than that for the moment. So, as far as I'm concerned, they're both the same thing. So if I talk about projection or visualization, it's much the same. Now, in this particular session, I will be talking about the initial stages. Oh, okay, question. Go on then. Let's see. Already a question. That's really good. Yeah, as usual, yeah, you know, just throw questions in local chat, whatever. Okay. When I say projection, what do I mean, probably? Yep, that's what some people call astral projection. I'll do a quick brief on that, seeing we probably got enough time to talk about these things today. Out-of-body experience. That most people talk about out-of-body experience as sometimes a spontaneous thing. But an out-of-body experience covers a whole plethora. Wow, I've used a long word in this weather. Brilliant. That's completely thrown me now. A whole spectrum of out-of-body experiences. And I mentioned this in one of the books that I've read, Astral Dynamics by Robert Bruce. It's one of my favourites. Now, for me, I say astral projection. I think I've done astral projection. Difficult to tell sometimes. Okay. Telling me to shush. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah, but those are late sessions. We'll get to the fun projection-y stuff later and lucid dreaming and all that. Exciting things. Now, so, what is visualization? In its simplest form, you can use it. It's daydreaming, but in a controlled way. Whereas daydreaming, this is where all these kind of things get mushed together and is very confusing. Daydreaming is a little bit of visualization. But again, what is visualization? It's such a complicated thing. Visualization is seeing things that may or may not be there, or things you create in your mind that feel real. There's lots of ways to describe it. One example, if you cast a circle, you may imagine there's a line being drawn on the floor. Is that line real, or is that in your head? It's real enough for you, possibly, especially if you take your eyes away from it. No imagination. You got no imagination, or you salt. Yes, that's fine. Okay, we'll take another step for if you don't think you've got imagination, because everybody is capable of visualization. If you could not visualize anything, I think you would be in serious trouble. If I told you right now, what does a brick look like? If you didn't have one nearby you to look at, you would recall in your mind what a house brick looks like. There you go, that's visualization. You have visualized in your mind a brick. Now, you possibly are using things from what you vaguely know of bricks. If you don't handle them every day, then you may sort of have to drag through your memory to remember what you think you know about a brick. You know it's going to be rectangular. It's going to have one very long side, shorter side, and then the height is possibly shorter still. And it's possibly red. Or there may be a slight tint to it. It might have, it might feel rough to your skin. You may even notice that there's an indentation at the top. But if you don't know enough about bricks, you may not even know that. But that's only for certain types of bricks. If I tell them to describe a brick, I tell them I'm going to go away. Yes, but okay. Now. Well, yes, I know. For the sake of argument, just bear with me. But as a human being, visualization is very important to the way we live and we survive. Even as in a primitive form, we would have to use visualization to judge distance. It forms a very integral part of our brain's activity. You must dream. That is visualization, in a way. Now, then there's also all the other stuff that we'll go into. But anyway, I'll go back to a slightly more formal definition that I actually have written down for a change. Right. Apart from the imagery side, the practical use of visualization in its simplest form, because I do say here, what is visualization in its simplest form? But I should say its practical use in its simplest form is a tool to push desires and wishes to the subconscious mind, or externally, so that they can manifest in this reality. Wishing. Now that's the subject of another talk, I think next time or the time after that. But I won't discuss how I think visualization works, because I don't really know, and I don't think many people do. I do know, I've experienced that visualization and to some extent projection, being of the same kind of idea, will work on multiple levels. A subconscious level within your own psyche, and you're dealing with the ego, the barrier. There's a lot of psychological stuff going on there. And then the unexplained stuff, the external stuff that possibly is some kind of exterior force being used. But we'll deal with just the practical stuff, not the metaphysics about all of this, because it's insane. Right, so I'm going to discuss some of the practical views, practical uses, and on how I make it work. And if you've got similar experiences or different ones even, I'm always willing to learn something new, then I'm welcome to discuss any more. Ah, we have Wabe joining us. Yay! Hello, Wabe. Are you... You're just rezzing up. Hang on. Okay, just let her settle down and we can continue. Yay! Can you hear me yet? Okay. We've just not too far off. What else? Yes, excellent, great. You haven't missed much. Right, okay. So, right. Setting the scene is the primary idea of this session today. And it's like any meditative state. You have to sort of get in the right frame of mind to do visualization. And I'm going to explain some of the techniques that, well, not techniques, some techniques, but some of the things that I've noticed with my own workings that have worked for me. Sometimes they may get missed, so they could possibly be good points to note down. Now, I personally prefer lighting, for example, low to dark, not complete darkness, and not bright light. It's bright seems to give me too much distraction, and darkness just is a little too disorientating for the initial stages. Now, sitting, lying down, I actually prefer to sit. I've tried standing, but I've just fallen over. Lying down, I tend to have a problem there as I end up falling asleep most often, which is not a bad thing. It's any kind of meditative process, and this as well, is an excellent way to calm the mind down, if you need it calmed down, to doze off. The biggest problem is trying to isolate daily life. With any kind of meditative process, you tend to need to not have people barge in, or the phone to ring, or the doorbell to ring, or animals making noises, or traffic making noises. To some extent, you can filter that kind of stuff out when you get to a certain point, but it can be distracting. So, also annoying noises. For example, a fan going, any kind of buzzy noises that really irritate. They're not particularly loud, but they just take away the attention. So I tend to have as much electrical things switched off as I possibly can, just to make certain. Now, I've tried doing this outside, and unfortunately you can't quite control the outside environment as much as you can inside. Even though it is nice to, say, sit under a tree or by the sea, which is my preference if I'm out, I do like the sea. But you can't control other people, animals. You know, you don't want to be sat under a tree and then there's a great big spider land on your face and freak you out or whatever. Yeah, you just got to find the right place for that. Temperature, a sort of reasonable ambient temperature. This heat at the moment that we've had today is way too much for me to try and get into proper workings. I'm too uncomfortable right now. It's very muggy. What is it? Well, I can't see the castle on the hill, so we've got really quite thick fog out there at the moment. So, it's annoying for me. Clothing tend to be loose. At least nothing constraining that's, or naked. Re-temperature. You don't want to be too cold or scare anybody if they do walk into the room. yeah. Whatever, if you can do it, then do it. As long as you're comfy. Now, one of the biggest problems, and this goes with any meditation, is the so-called empty your mind. It's not possible for the human mind to be empty. It is always constantly looking for something to do. All you can do is just nudge it back on track the moment it starts to waver. And the general idea is that once you've got the visualization journey or path work going, then you don't need to worry about it because your full focus will be on what's happening in front of you. Simplicity. Now, I often say this is that I think I mentioned this at one of the shares I was at, Reiki Share, a week or so ago. I tend to like to work with a naive mind. As simple as possible. Just being open and looking at things. Like, right in front of me, I've got some... Let's think those drumsticks were a bit boring. What have I got? That's a really nice... There's a little bit of wood in front of me that's painted, and the light's reflecting off of it, and it's all really bobbly, and I could probably spend quite some time just looking at it. And okay, it's a piece of rough wood that's I've painted, so it's not a natural thing, but even so, there's still a beauty about it. And it's just the mind can just wander, and sometimes spontaneous things will happen. That's what I was saying earlier about daydreaming. This daydreaming is sort of an early step towards visualization. You need to let the mind, the conscious mind, disengage from any active thinking. Once that has disengaged and you let in it free will, then any imagery could be useful. It's sort of partly to do with scrying. I tend to use fire scrying, but looking in the clouds for patterns, the sea, any imagery. It's all useful. That's why I say everybody can do all this, because there is no trick to visualization. There's no significant skills that only certain people can do it. Everyone can. You just got to get into your head that it's not complicated. You just daydream. That's just daydream however you want. Now, also I've noticed food. Keep food and drink to a limit. To a minimum, I should say. Don't want to be too hungry or wanting to go to the loo or any of that kind of stuff. Just being sensible. Now, that's pretty much the physical kind of things that I consider when I'm going there. Oh, what about... Oh, I'm going to come to this. I'll put it in the mind section, but actually this is a physical tiredness. Not too tired. Now, the Robert Bruce book, again, I will say Astral Dynamics, he, and I think a few others have said this as well, there's a particular state called, oh, we have someone with us. Hello, Coco. Okay. Are you able to hear me okay? Right, okay, where was I? Oh, yes. The concept of mind awake, body asleep. You want to be relaxed. You don't want to be too tired that you do fall asleep. As again, as usual, if you do fall asleep, it's no bad thing. You just get a good sleep. So that is fine. Right. Now, your mental state is possibly more important than the physical, because the physical is easier to control than your mental state. Well, it is for me anyway. Mood. Ah, okay, someone can't hear. Okay, one moment while I. I'm just gonna. Okay, let's just. Sorry about this. Oh, I can't even do my. Can't even type. Okay, right. Yes, mental state. Mood. Be happy. Any anxious mental condition seems to aggravate the experience. I've had quite a lot of people come to me who say that they want to use visualization to sort out their depression or their anxiety, and into some extent you can achieve that, but on the whole, I would say no, because when you're working with your psyche, your subconscious, you could get manifestations of those anxieties come back with imagery, and it could be bad. And so approach with a good condition of your mind. Calmness of mind goes hand in hand with the relaxation. I found some Tai Chi moves seem to do something to help that. I think it's just taking the focus away from the anxieties and the daily stuff, a little bit of time to disengage. Now, there's a variety of methods you could use. I'm sure most of you have probably attempted meditation at some point. Now, one other aspect that does pop up, and I'm totally against it, is substance use to achieve altered state. Some people say that's useful for them. I've never experienced any substances. I've never smoked pot or any of that. Well, I've never smoked cigarettes anyway, so I certainly wouldn't smoke anything. And I hate tablets unless I was really forced to by the doc. And I can't stand the sight of a needle. So I don't deal with any of that stuff. I don't think I've missed anything because of it. Whatever you do, it's down to your own path and what you have to deal with. But don't feel you need to try those things to do it. Likewise, as it go, I mentioned just now, if you are using sort of, now I don't know the effects these things have. I can only go by what I understand of what I've read and seen. They seem to trigger the subconscious and the anxieties and the depressive states and then amplify them, which, if you're suffering from those already, is a bad thing. So, no, don't worry. Never use them. I wouldn't worry about it. And again, if you are keeping a dream journal, and I mention this all the time, document everything you do, because you can obviously record these, your current mental state, your tiredness, your anxiety or sleep level or all these kind of environmental things, document them when you start, and then you have something that should something not work out right, you can at least analyse what happened. Now I say do that, I've never done that myself, I keep meaning to, but I document in a slightly different way. So I'm not sure. Okay, so what else have we got? Some other methods that I use. Now, this is one that I've not seen around that much, into some extent, not actively. Now, sound, music. When I do my Reiki stuff, there's usually music going on in the background, and we tend to use that for timing of the movements within the session. But those meditations are never really focused on the music itself. But I found, and I'm not sure how this actually started, because I was a bit hazy back in the real lack of documentation in the early part of my path. But I caught on to using music as an emotional trigger to initiate the right state of mind for visualization. Again, I really have no idea how this came about, but what I tended to use are pieces of music that were very key to attaining those previous states that I mentioned of being happy, relaxed, in a good place mentally and emotionally. For those, I tended to pick pieces of music that evoked a really good memory to get to that state. I think possibly how this came about was that I really didn't know much about visualization until I picked up actually a book in the early 90s that actually gave a word for what I was doing, as that was visualization. So, and that book I've noted in the notes that I'll hand out shortly, and that's called Applied Visualization, a Mind Body Program by James Lynn Page, which is probably out of print now. I think I did see it once in Treadwell's, and it was in their rare section. So I'd be very surprised, but pretty much they're all the same. Now, what I found was I had repeated failure, and I think in the next session I go on how to deal with blocks and failures. But what I was achieving was that I was trying something, getting nowhere, trying something else, getting nowhere, and this was just getting nowhere at all. And I'd end up starting back at the same place and then working through some kind, trying to get relaxed, trying to meditate, blah, 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 and all these steps. So I thought, well, why do I have to keep going through this? I'm wasting 20, 30 minutes, an hour sometimes trying. And this was the word trying, which suggests that I was forcing it, which is not a good thing. It wasn't coming naturally. And I was getting frustrated, and then obviously the frustration builds and things just get worse. So what I think how I think this worked out was that there may have been some piece of music I was listening to and I thought that was really good, and it may have triggered a piece of visualization. And then I put one in one together and thought, hey, this is good. Perhaps I could use music to quick start or short circuit this whole messing around that I do and the frustration it causes if I can't achieve it. So I think that's how it worked. It seems plausible considering the time that all this kicked off. It was a very likely thing that would have happened. and there were some few clues that I've picked up on that happened. So what I then came to find was that certain pieces of music do evoke this good state. Now, I think some of you probably know what I'm like at times, and therefore my choice of music that initiated these triggers is very telling of those times. For example, and I'm not ashamed to say this, one of the key pieces of music is Careless Whispers by Wham. A great 80s track, very cheesy, but it takes me back to an excellent time at school disco, and it was fun and great innocent times. So that's one of the key ones. The moment I hear that, I will just relax, chill out, and be happy, and it sort of achieves everything that a good meditative state would do with a bit of effort, but in this case, it's really quick. Now, there's a few other things that I've then later on developed. And I think in the next one, we'll actually go through one of my guided working that I do every single time. There's certain kinds of visualization that I might want to achieve. Therefore, I have a slightly different pace to the music. So the Careless Whispers one's a really nice, slow and wavy one. With a bit of a good rhythm, I tend to go for Kylie Minogue's track called Slow. It's got an excellent bass, and it's really hypnotic. And that I quite like for... Well, I'm not sure what I use it for, but I do use it every now and again. Another classic one, you've got The Love by The Source, not the reasonably good cover by Florence and the Machine. It's okay, but you've got to go back to the 90s version, even though that was a cover of something earlier. But the 90s version by The Source, excellent bass again, but then that was the music of the times, and that was trance, house, all of that stuff. Pretty much anything from around there is pretty good. Now, there's another one, which I've put as a high energy workout by the Medieval Babes, and apologies for any of the mispronunciation of this, Equi Mundi Gaudium. When my first Medieval Babes gig at Rochester the Cathedral a few years ago, the moment that came on, I almost, it almost initiated an out-of-body experience. It was insane, so I've stuck with that ever since. And it's a very short track, so I have to have it on constant loop. And Fiesta de Amor by Incubus Succubus, interestingly, has some useful... Now, the whole point of these is that I would prepare as best I could the environment and then slap that bit of music on, either the single track or a couple of them together, doesn't really matter, but at least it starts to get the meditative state working, and I can achieve that stage quicker. Now, like with the next session where I'll go through the guided working, the music aspect will become clear why I use that, because it's very much a precursor to my whole visualization and projection methods. But I would suggest, well, even if music isn't your thing, any kind of emotional triggers could be useful. For example, it's only in the past year or two, perhaps, that I've actually started using incense. And incense cones, resins, or whatever to associate smell as an emotional response. There's a few that I have. Jasmine, for example. I had an extremely, amazingly good holiday years and years ago in Malta, and the smell of jasmine I've always associated with that time there. So if I put some jasmine on as an incense, it immediately relaxes me and gives me that positive state of mind that's conducive to the meditation and to visualization. There's other smells like that too. I find the frankincense I burn, although I have got no associations with it at the moment, but it tends to evoke the right state that I need. So I've got there sound and smell. Now, obviously a emotional response to a visual stimulus is a problem, because if you're doing visualization work, meditative work, you've probably got your eyes shut. But there could still be a visual aspect to it with your eyes open. For example, you could probably have a photo of something that's important to you that gives you that state. You could have it in front of you, and you could just focus softly at it. When I say soft focus, it's a sort of not look focused directly at the image, but just in front, so it's sort of slightly soft out of focus, but not too much. And if that image gives you that emotional response to make you relaxed, to make you happy, to give you that meditative state, then perfectly fine. Whether at that point then you need to close your eyes and enter it, as long as it gets you moving, then that's fine. Taste, that's a possibility. You want to try and avoid having to eat anything, because you don't want to choke or anything. There could well be other ways of doing this, but for me, emotional response, emotional triggers are the best. I'm a Piscean. Emotion seems to be a highly sensitive thing for me, so it's my preferred means. So, let's think as far as this goes. Probably are some other practical things. Well, what will happen in the next one is that I'll be doing my guided working, which I will dismantle and explain how it works so that you can look at doing your own. For me, guided workings that I've picked up in books and that I've done with other people, I sometimes just have problems with it, which is not unusual, and this is where many people with visualization start getting upset and thinking they're rubbish at it. You may get a CD that says you're in a forest and walking through a forest and you'll meet a stag or something, but you might not see any of that. And some people think, well, if I can't get that right, then it's not for me and it's all going wrong. No, it's just probably you're just not into forests like me. So that's where it all goes pear-shaped. If you end up going somewhere different, go with it. But I'll cover more of that in the next session. And then the session after that, which may actually be that day, because I think that could be the day of Artemis gathering, then the fourth session, I think it is, will be on the real practical uses, wishing. which is a really enjoyable one. I'll get notes out. Are there any questions? Everybody's, we've used up our questions, have we? Let me just get these out. You've probably got the previous week's ones, but you got it again should you want it. In any case, thanks for coming along. It's a bit warm here still, and I'm in need of something to drink. Okay. Okay, before I switch off recording, is there no questions? Oh, that's just a thank you for the notes. No problem. So, next session in 2 weeks will be on the guided working. I'm pretty certain it'll be in 2 weeks. Oh, no problem. Okay, so if there's no questions, I shall stop recording. So thank you for coming along, and we'll see you again next time.